Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
There's a drive, hits a deep right field. That ball is going, it is gone. Maris hitting his second homer of the day. And the Yankees' sixth homer.
See, my friends, even I, Michael Savage, know what baseball is. Welcome to the program today. I love that clip because it reminds me of the great days of the New York Yankees, and that's the great announcer Mel Allen, who was an inspiration to me without my even knowing it. When I was a kid, I listened to this man's voice, and just there was something about it that made me think I was transported to another world when I listened to him. Well, I just hit one out of the park, like Mickey Mantle. And thanks to you, the book Trump's War is going to be number one. It is number one on the New York Times bestseller list. Now, you may say that's okay, but it's not a big deal. It is a huge deal for a number of reasons. Aside from this program alone, this book was not allowed on Fox News. There is an ongoing blacklist and boycott for reasons I will never understand other than the jealousy of Bill O'Reilly. That's my analysis. Let him prove otherwise, because that's what I've been told. He does not want competition for his mediocre dreck that he puts out, the Killing Series. So the book is number one with this audience and a few websites like the Drudge Report that reported on the book. And I got to tell you this, the difference between a home run hitter in the world of baseball and talk radio is that you're confused to think that there's a team here, a team of conservatives who all love each other. See, when Mantle or Maris would hit a home run, he'd come back to home plate, and the entire team would stand up and high-five him and slap his hand as he came into the dugout. In the world of conservative talk radio, they don't slap your hand. They try to slap you down or trip you up. There is no team spirit in conservative talk radio. That's the dirtiest secret in the media. And I'm not bitter about it. I'm the one who hit the home run because of you. And I'm going to talk about why that book is so important in a moment. There's only one person in the major leagues who talked about Trump's war today hitting number one, because it's a reflection for all of us. It's a reflection of Trump's war. And it's a man named Mike Gallagher. I don't know the man. I know he's been on radio. He is on radio. He's the only one, I'm told, on Facebook who took pride in a fellow broadcaster who is on the same side politically who knocked one out of the park. So thanks, Mike. I appreciate that very, very much. You stand apart from all the others who play the game not as honestly as you do. Savage Trump's War, number one on the New York Times bestseller list. No Fox News, no networks, no nothing but the audience. But it's the message of the book that is so important. And the message of that book is no better stated than line number one from page 65. I'll read you one line. Let me indulge myself. Tell me that these words are not worth remembering. Once again, the world is at war. Europe is once again bathed in blood with the radical Islamist terrorism that found little resistance under Barack Hussein Obama here in America. Page 66 of Trump's War. Radical Islam is a violent political movement masquerading as a religion. And until the needed reformation that even moderate Muslims are calling for takes place, radical Islam will not be a religion. Prophetic words or dangerous words? I look at Germany, I see blood in the streets. I look at England, I see blood in the streets. I see men who are tough-looking Englishmen, the kind of men who built England. They're either in prison or they're vilified as right-wing maniacs. What happened to England? They were beaten down, if not jailed, by the radical feminist socialist left. That's just what would have happened in this nation if God had not intervened and given us Donald Trump. That can be found in a no-holds-barred political book called Trump's War. And that is why this book will continue to be important. I'm going to ask you a loaded question today. You, the people who elected Donald Trump, you, the deplorables, you who have not been caponized by the vermin on the left who have destroyed the males of America, who are destroying our boys with medication, destroying them with feminism, destroying them with every ism known to mankind to destroy their masculinity. You who are listening to the show, men and women of the Savage Nation, you deplorables who elected Donald Trump, you who do not live in Crackolandia, you deplorables, if you were to be asked by the president, what would you do, what would you recommend to reduce the risk of Islamo-fascist terror right here in America, what is it that you would recommend to Donald Trump? What is it? I'll give you a phone number. You can be heard across the world because without major stations in some markets, somehow the book is number one. How'd that happen? Because I've been telling you for years now that the show is number one in streaming. It's the number one streaming talk show in America. So those who can't get me on a radio station, pick up a device and put in Michael Savage Radio, and bingo, they get the show. So they hear the show, and they know about Trump's war. So if you had the opportunity to recommend to Donald Trump how to stop Islamofascism or reduce the risk of Islamofascism from attacking again in this country, what would you recommend be done? It's a straight-up question. We're not mincing words today. Our life is at stake. Michael Savage newsletter, a bearded man ran over people in London. That's what I said yesterday in this program. In today's issue, Savage reacted Wednesday, that was yesterday, of course, to the politically correct coverage by establishment media outlets of the terror attack in London by yet another Muslim. And here's what Savage said. Those of us on the front lines of this war to save the West have known what this war is for a very long time. We know there's an Islamo-fascist movement more vicious than that of Hitler's Germany, without the weaponry or the organization of Hitler's Germany. And then on the other side, we have the psychopathic apologists. Liberals, if you want. I don't know what they're called. They've ceased to represent humanity to me. Those who would dig their own graves and throw themselves into the pit in the name of some kind of political expediency and cowardice. Savage continued. And as I say this, I think of Wolf Blitzer, but he's not alone. Media downplayed the London terror attack in every way they possibly could. Every which way they could, they said a bearded man ran people over and knifed people. Bearded man? Another media outlet put it as a gun incident on the London Bridge. What part of reality do you not understand? Let me ask you a bigger question. There seems to be a divide in this nation and in the West itself between reality and psychopathic unreality. I always thought the divide ended where survival began and ended, but I was wrong. So let me ask you, the Savage Nation, a simple question. What is reality? I asked that on the air yesterday. And the listener said, well, reality is what you make it. You can make reality anything you want. And then the listener said, prove to me existence itself as we know it. Prove to me existence itself as we know it is real or unreal. Or prove to me that existence as you know it is the same as the existence as I know it. So I sent a parable about Albert Einstein. The story goes, and I think it's a true story, a man came in after he published a theory of relativity, and Einstein let him come to see him. And he said, Herr Einstein, I finally get it. I read your theory of relativity. There is no reality. Whereupon Einstein stood up and slapped the man in the face and said, this is reality. Well, I remember reading that, and shortly thereafter, I must have been 20 years old, I was on a country road in the Catskill Mountains of New York, and I ran over a rabbit. I got out and saw the dead thing squashed in the road with the blood and guts all over the pavement. And I remember writing in my journal later on, tonight I ran over and killed a rabbit. This is reality. So now we have another reality in London. Another Muslim fanatic trying to stab a cop, killing a cop, driving a car onto a bridge, killing other people, hitting 20 civilians, killing some of them, maiming others for life. And you have Wolf Blitzer and the others in denial, more concerned about offending certain members of their populations than protecting themselves and others. And you want me to tell you the worst part of this Islamo-fascist terror attack in London for me was seeing the British EMT workers desperately trying to save the life of the subhuman who had done this. You see, to me, any man who commits this type of atrocity on other humans who are innocent is no longer a human being. They sink below the level of humanity. They become subhumans. I would have let him rot in the streets. I would have let him rot in the streets rather than put a needle in to save that life of that piece of garbage. And to see them working so hard to save his life after he had done this, if this does not typify the insanity of the liberal West, tell me what does. A man runs people over on purpose, kills them, shoots a, stabs a cop, and they save his life? They try to save his life? That's the society you want to live in? That makes you feel like a good man? That makes you feel like a superior liberal? That should indicate to you that you're a mental case that belongs in a nut house. So let me turn it back to you, the listeners of this show. This is no longer a joke. We can't have flowers and balloons every time another person is killed by one of these Islamo-fascist subhumans. No flowers, no balloons. I want to hear the bees buzzing. I want to hear the B-1s, the B-2s. I want them in the air. I want to hear them roaring at 5 in the morning at a McClellan Air Force Base. Every time someone is killed, I want a training camp destroyed with everything that walks in it dead. And that's the way you're going to win this war, no other way. Not with balloons, Miss May. Not with that false, stiff upper lip, Miss May. We will not be bent. Or the Muslim mayor of London. Isn't he a wonderful speaker? Mr. Khan. Isn't he a wonderful, wonderful man? Mayor Khan. London is the safest city in the world, he said. And he wants the balloons, and he wants the flowers, and he wants the English on their knees, bowing down to radical Islam. And so this is what the Battle of Britain was about. When the bravest and best of Britain, they were all very wealthy boys. They came from good families, by the way, not like today. They enlisted in the Royal Air Force to save their nation. Almost all the pilots in the Royal Air Force who fought the war, air war over England to save it from Hitler, were all boys from, let us say, upper-class families. But it was considered part of their duty to enlist in the military, and almost all of them went into the Air Force. And they fought very bravely in their Spitfires against the German plane, the ME-109. It was an amazing story. I'm sure those boys still exist in England. Many of them are in the Royal Air Force or the Royal Military. Many of them are in police work, but they've been hamstrung. They've been destroyed by the ninnies like Theresa May, by the fellow travelers in their own government who have told them not to be men, but to be crybabies and get down on their knees and just bray to the Muslim fanatics who are killing us one person at a time. How do you stop this? What, do you think it's a miracle to figure out how to stop it? If you have a cancer that enters your body, what do you do with it? Do you pray to the cancer, or do you cut the cancer out? Do you use radiation and surgery to kill the cancer? Think about it, all you good doctors out there. This is the Sabbath. And by the way, we have an amazing guest coming up at the bottom of the hour. I saw her last night on Fox News. Her name is Katie Hopkins. She's an English woman, a fabulous English woman. She wrote an article for the Daily Mail, Welcome to London. She said, we can say we're not afraid, light candles and make hearts of our hands, but the truth is that we can't go on like this. She was nauseated by the weakness of the people she saw in Brussels and the weakness that she saw in London. And she had rage as she watched it. Katie Hopkins is the kind of woman that England needs to save itself from itself. This is the Savage Nation. I need you to save us from the same liberal sickness. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Bearded conducted the attack in London. Bearded man of no religion. He wasn't a Muslim, was he? Well, we didn't know it was a bearded man. And the worst part was seeing the EMT workers trying to save the subhuman's life as people lay dead in the streets. This is the symptom of insanity. This is the symptom of liberal insanity I've never seen. If you were to make up a story like this 50 years ago, that a man would run people over on purpose after stabbing a cop, and the cops, the ambulance workers in those days would run up and try to save his life, you'd say no one would believe that would happen. They wouldn't even go near him. They'd let him rot and die in the street. They'd let the crows peck his eyes out. They wouldn't pick him up with the garbage the next day. This is what liberals have done to our minds and made you think that's the mark of a sane society, trying to save the life of a man who just killed all those people. This is what you think is the mark of a civilized society. It shows that you're better than them. This is how sick you are. You think they look at you and say, oh, they're better than us. We'll learn from their example. Oh, those liberals are so... Western democracy is so superior to our ninth century view of Islamofascism that we'll become like them. We'll just throw away our hate book. We'll get rid of all the hate in our book because they're so much better than us. And look at that. They put balloons and they put flowers in the street. Isn't that the way to go, Ahmed? Yeah. Let's join them. Yeah, Ahmed, let's reform our viewpoint because they're such superior people. You think this parody is unreal? This is how the liberals actually think things work. They are tolerant for every sickness on the planet, with the exception of conservatism. They are tolerant for every form of humanity and every form of human behavior, except for patriotism. They are mentally ill. We cannot let the mentally ill politicians lead the West over the cliff any longer. We cannot. It's impossible. We cannot go on like this. And that's why I say to you, and we're going to have to go to our guest in a moment, Kathy Hopkins, who's as outraged as I am, if not more so. I saw her on Fox last night, the place that I'm banished from. And without them, of course, I still had a number one bestseller. Tell that to your liberal friends. Savage's book, Trump's War, is number one on the New York Times bestseller list. That is without ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, Fox News, or MSNBC. I didn't need them. All I needed was the truth. You hear me? The truth is the most powerful medium in the world. There's nothing greater than the truth. Guest at the bottom of the hour, Katie Hopkins. I think she'll have words to say that are different than mine about the bearded man who committed these atrocities in London.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
We're sitting here in the aftermath of yet another Islamofascist attack upon yet another innocent population, this time in London, and we are asking ourselves, how in the world can the idiots in the media be saying a bearded man ran over people in London? How far does this have to go until the citizenry itself stands up and decides to live rather than to die? Great article in Daily Mail by a fabulous writer, Katie Hopkins. And I'd like to hear what she has to say, because I saw her on television. I thought she was just wonderful. You can reach her on Twitter, at KT Hopkins. Ms. Hopkins, a pleasure to have you on the Savage Nation program. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me on.
This is not a pleasant time, nor is it a time to simply make hay out of a terrible event. But you made some critical points on television here last night, in my mind. One of which was that there's a dichotomy between what is seen in London and what is seen in the rest of England. Could you tell us what that is?
Absolutely. And I am taking a hammering right now from the people of London, from the intellectual elites, as they call themselves. It's rather like your kind of New York or LA, I guess. And I take a hammering from them because they say, we stand united, we are stoic, we are not cowed. Whereas if you travel outside of London to this other place called the rest of the UK, where I am in regularly with people who are normal people getting on with their daily lives, they do feel afraid. Not afraid because of this one attack or this one man in this car that drove into people and stabbed a man. Not afraid because of this one thing, but because they look at what our country has become, because this is us now. This is the United Kingdom now. You know, this is what we've been reduced to, which is accepting another attack, accepting this sort of thing happens in a big city. That was our Muslim mayor, Sadiq Khan, who said that. Yeah. Accepting that what we'll do now, if people are right this moment, is stand in Trafalgar Square, hold a tea light, you know, make heart shapes with your hands, maybe have a hashtag, maybe light up a building with the colours of the flag, and pretend it's all okay. That is not brave, you know, that is not being cowed by terror. That's failing to see the danger in our midst that nobody's doing anything about. And the rest of the UK can see it, but our establishment, our media, the liberal ruling elite in London just won't acknowledge it. And I believe they won't acknowledge it because to admit the state that we've fallen into would be to admit everything they believed is wrong. You know, multiculturalism doesn't work. Multiculturalism means we all die together.
I agree with every word you've just said, and it's not often that I'm speechless, and I'm not speechless now because so many ideas have come to me as you were speaking, Katie. I was thinking of the Battle of Britain during World War II. After London had been bombed, the Royal Air Force sent up the Spitfires against the ME-109s. They didn't light candles or release balloons where the people were burnt to death after Hitler firebombed parts of London. They fought back. It's why I've always admired the British, was the fighting spirit. Where is the fighting spirit in England today? Where did it go?
Absolutely. And this is the thing that people seem to be missing when I'm saying to them, you are cowed, you are afraid, because all you've got is acceptance. All you've got that you're fighting back with is a hashtag and a tea light. All you've got to fight back with is, ooh, but the far right are equally scary, or, ooh, there's worse things happening in Germany, or, ooh, Brussels is just as bad. That is not fighting back. People say to me, look, Katie, you know, we will stand strong against this. London is better than this. We survived the Blitz. We survived the IRA. But you know what? We were fighting for something then. We were defending ourselves then. We sent brave men and women out to fight for a cause then. And all we have now is a Muslim mayor saying, these sorts of things happen in a big city. We are united. And I tell you, that is as far from the truth as it could possibly be. I have never known a more divided kingdom, and I also have never known London to be more divided. It is basically a city of ghettos. There is the Somali quarter, the Afghani quarter, who don't speak to the Eritrean quarter, who don't speak to the Syrian. And that's very, very, you know, well demarked. Those sort of communities are demarked by strong lines that exist. That is the truth of London. And that's the truth that, for some reason, our media are not willing to acknowledge, very much like Sweden, in fact.
Well, you recently had a Brexit vote. It sort of showed the schism in Britain, or in England, for that matter. The schism was between London and the rest of the nation. And then they have the travesty of the Muslim Mayor Khan, who ever, if ever there was a fellow traveler, it seems like, let me put in a crude analogy. It's World War II. Hitler has just sent one of his henchmen into London to kill some people innocently with a truck. And the mayor is of German descent, and he says, London is the safest city in the world, and we're all united. The people would say, well, which side is he on? I mean, that's what you're feeling. Katie, what is your background that you stand so apart from the other, quote, journalists in London or in England? How did you get where you are?
Yeah, and I think it's because I'm not one You know, I am just this normal woman. I'm just a mum of three kids of 12, 11, and 8. You know, I live 10 years in Manhattan, so I understand, you know, life can be a bit tough, and we all need to be a bit tough. You know, Manhattan doesn't have maternity leave more than 6 weeks on paid leave. I quite like that. I like the fact that you guys go, hey, you wanted a baby? Great. You pay for it. I love that. You know, I buy into that. So, look, all my life when I was little, I wanted to be in the army. I am a massive patriot. I love my country. I would love to do what Trump did. And I stood there at his inauguration just loving the fact that he said, we will put America first. And I went through Sandhurst. I had a regular commission with the Intelligence Corps. I was part of the army because I want to fight for something. And what breaks my heart is all of these people saying, look, we're not cowed because we're still walking down a pavement. We're not cowed because, look, we're still in a restaurant drinking. I mean, oh, my word, you brave Brits, you're still eating and drinking. I mean, you're still bubbly continent as well. Go you. You're still continent, stoically continent. But actually, no one's fighting back. No one's acknowledging the problem we have. And all we have is a Muslim mayor, as you rightly say, standing up at the leading the vigil with the candlelights in this public square, which luckily is pedestrian.
Well, in my opinion, he's a fellow traveler of extremism, whether he is openly or in a closeted manner. He's winking and nodding. But the question is, we heard a UKIP leader, Paul Nuttall, saying today, ban funding for mosques. He said there's a cancer within our community in this country that has to be called out and has to be dealt with, whether that is calling on the Muslim community to do more to cut this cancer out. Or he said, how about banning Saudi funding of mosques? Because quite frankly, Saudi Arabia spread radicalism around the globe. I think you would agree with that, correct?
I think, yeah, absolutely. And I see that at my university, actually, a local university here, that is a lot of funding on that campus now. This is true of many of our British universities, comes from the Saudis. And as a result, campuses now are not friendly to the Jewish communities, and Jews are being forced out of university campuses and other thinking because there's such a wide sort of spread prevalence of Islamic thinking, Islamic thought, which is indeed backed by funding from Saudi sources. That's in our universities with our young people. And I believe people are also being brainwashed in our schools and colleges to be anti-Trump. You know, many teachers teach in schools that Trump equals hate, and they think they have a right to teach that. You know, it concerns me. I think our Muslim mayor of Londonistan, as many of us know, is, you know, his greatest kind of validation is that his father was the son of a bus driver. And, you know, have we heard that once? We've heard it 40,000 times. So, yes, United Kingdom is not united. And we certainly, when people say we will not be cowed, that's because the bravery bar has now been set at walking down the pavement or crossing a bridge. And if that's brave, it's to wonder what sort of your country is in.
All right. Well, I've asked my audience today on this program, what would you recommend to be done to reduce Islamo-fascist terror in the West? And we've been talking about that. And also, by the way, we're speaking with a great writer, Katie Hopkins, UK Daily Mail, on Twitter at KT Hopkins. You're impassioned. You're patriotic. You are what England needs right now. And you're not alone. You represent the English people. The very force of England that voted to remove themselves from the emerging Soviet Eurostate and to leave the EU are the people you seem to write for, Katie. And what do they think needs to be done to save their nation before it's too late? Let's make a bigger picture. I have people who are very smart, smarter than I, who said they can't be saved. It's too late. The breeding level, the reproduction level, the encouragement of breeding amongst the immigrant classes and the lack of children amongst the British themselves means that in 20 years or less, they will be slaves to the invaders. Is that too dire a picture?
I don't think it is too dire a picture. And if it were only I saying it, I would say, well, you know, be a bit skeptical because obviously I'm biased because I'm a massive Brexiteer. I stand with the 52. I am proud of the people who want to try to get back to a Britain they used to know. But when I hear Erdogan in Turkey saying, we are at war, this is a war between the crescent and the cross, and that was only last week he was saying that, I tend to think that's right, and I can only see a full-scale civil war at some point breaking out. You know, I think the real sadness is not that we are the cross against the crescent, but actually we are kind of bent down on one knee. You know, we're so busy trying to be tolerant that we're a doormat now, a country that's a doormat to be trodden on, a joke, really, to these other countries that take us over. And it's only funny to those who wish us harm, many celebrating the attacks yesterday on Arabic social media channels. And I think what fears us the most is this idea that, you know, it's the cultures that come to join us that we tiptoe around instead of defending the culture that people have come to join.
Yeah, whatever happened to the adage, when in Rome, do as the Romans do? Where'd that go?
I don't know, you know, and it's one of my big questions, maybe a question for your good listeners as well, is why is it, if Islam is so great, why do Muslims always want to come to Christian countries? That's a question I haven't managed to find an answer to.
Well, there's better welfare and an easier society to dominate. I think it's quite simple. If you lived in a repressive society ruled by a potentate, albeit of the same religion, wouldn't you like to go to a place that is ruled by ninnies, such as Theresa May, who says we're all, you know, well, what's with her, by the way?
It's so disappointing. It's really disappointing for people like me, the 52, the Brexiteers, the people that were championing Trump because we hoped America would be able to break free, and America has. And I can only tell you, there are so many Brits here who aspire to be like the Americans who said, no, we will not be called deplorables, no, we will not be told mm-hmm. we cannot win, no, we will stand, and we will mm-hmm. put Americans first, and we will have American jobs for American people. You know, mm-hmm. God only knows, I wish Trump had come out of the door of number 10 last night, because that's the messaging I would wanted to have heard, not that we will not be cowed, that we stand united, and as proof of that, we're all going to manage to turn up to work tomorrow and somehow still be confident.
Yeah, right.
That's not.
Well, as I said on the show, after a terrorist attack, what I want to hear is the buzzing in the middle of the night. That is really the roar of B-2 bombers coming out of McClellan Air Force Base on the way to the training camps, because we damn well know that everyone in the military and intelligence knows where these people come from, and they could obliterate them virtually with the press of a button. I'm so sick of this. I know that you probably have to go. You're a kindred spirit. I don't know if you know this. I'm the only member of the American media banned from entering Britain. Are you aware of that?
I do know that, and I can only apologize, and I can only...
No, I didn't think anyone even remembered that. That's my badge of courage here, is I'm not allowed to enter a nation that I happen to still love, despite the fact that it's been invaded by a virus like this. Can you stay with us a few minutes after the break, Kenny, or you have to run along?
No, I can stay with you, hon.
You see that? She loves me, as do my listeners. At least on the radio. She's a married woman, as am I. We'll be right back with the great Katie Hopkins on The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Go back to our great guest, Katie Hopkins, in a moment, but I have to tell you about a great product from Chamonix, and I tell you that every time I read this, because everybody has the same problem. It's, you know, you don't want to talk about it. You got bags under your eyes. You wish they'd go away. Okay, it's human, because bags and puffiness under the eyes are a problem for millions of American men and women, unless you use GenuCell. It's a plant stem cell treatment from Chamonix. And then, my friends, you will have no bags and puffiness. Listen to Susan from New Jersey, who wrote this. I've been using GenuCell for a couple of months. The puffiness around my eyes is gone. Even the crow's feet and small lines have disappeared and haven't come back. I love your product. I use it under my eyes, around my cheekbones, and on my eyelids. Not only Susan, folks. People in my family have been using GenuCell for the past few years, and their eyes have never looked better. Believe me, the best part is this product works instantly, and with its instant effects, you'll see results in the first 12 hours. You get your money back. I can guarantee you'll get your money back if it doesn't work. So call now and you'll save big on GenuCell's risk-free Limited time offer, 800-SKIN-891, 800-SKIN-891. Plus, right now, during the Chamonix Spring Clearance event, Chamonix will give you an instant $50 coupon while supplies last. Call 800-SKIN-891. Write it down, 800-SKIN-891. That's 800-SKIN-891. We only have a brief moment with a guest who is lighting up the lines here. Her name is Katie Hopkins. You can reach her via Twitter. Katie, we'd like to have you back. I'm getting people who are emailing me saying that woman is great. She's got the spine that built Britain and saved Britain during World War II. You are not alone.
Thanks.
You are not alone. You got to know that you have a lot of new fans right now here in America, not only from this show, but last night you were on Fox. Where are the American equivalents of Katie Hopkins? Because I'm sure there are many American women who think the way you do. And, Katie, you're not alone in England. It's just that the people who oppose you, they own the media.
Yeah.
They try to drown you out because they know you're right, Katie.
Well, thank you. I find it, you know, even in London today, walking through the city with people on Twitter telling me I'm a horrible woman and they're not cowed and they're still drinking cups of tea, like that proves anything. But as soon as I step inside a black cab, you know, and get inside a shop where a normal person's working, they say, I'm right with you.
Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
It is wrong to describe this as Islamic terrorism. It is Islamist terrorism. It is a perversion of a great faith. An act of terrorism.
All right, I got it. Now, I've heard this before, that it's not Islam, these acts of terror. They're Islamist terrorism, and that it's a perversion of a great faith. The question is, how come so many seem to pervert this great faith? Where do they derive their ideas from? If it's a perversion of a great faith, where do the perverts of this great faith get their ideas to commit such heinous acts? Can anyone explain that to me? Why, it's in the faith itself. And so you could say, well, wait a minute, how dare you say that? I'm sorry, if you read the holy book, it tells you to kill an infidel. Now, most Muslims are peace-loving. I've had Muslim associates, they're peace-loving, just like Christians are or Jews. They want to be left alone, worship as they want. But unfortunately, there are a lot of unhinged people who are either mentally deranged or genetically damaged from inbreeding, who read a book and take it literally. And so they want to live in an 8th or 9th century view of their holy book, where it says if you see an infidel, cut his throat, etc. and so on. We don't have to repeat it. It's in their holy book itself. So you say, well, it's a perversion of a great faith. So the only salvation for the world, including Muslims who are peaceful, is for a revision to occur within Islamic circles, and it's already occurring. However, anyone who speaks out against the tenets of the original document are put on a hit list, and I mean within the Muslim faith. There's some great women, Muslims, they're called moderate Muslims, who are appalled at the anti-womanness of the Holy Book, their hatred for women, etc. Every time they speak out about going through a reformation, as the Christians did, 700 years ago, 500 years ago, Christianity went through a reformation. Islam has not gone through a reformation. Judaism has gone through a reformation. Islam has not gone through a reformation. So we have a real problem on our hands, don't we? Because this is going to happen over and over again, and they'll kill us with 1,000 slashes. As I have told you, it's the Arabic way of warfare. I don't know if you know this. Maybe I have to give you the history lesson again for those of you who went to Harvard and never learned your history. Maybe you need a little history lesson on how in only 25 years, we saw one of the most amazing stories of conquest in the entire history of humanity. In only 25 years, small tribes out of Arabia smashed the Byzantine army at the Battle of Yarmouk, which is a tributary of the Jordan River. That was in 634. And then the Emperor Heraclius, exhausted by the Persian War, saw his new conquests in Syria, Damascus, Palmyra, Antioch, Jerusalem, and the rest fall almost without resistance to the invading Muslim hordes. Large elements of the population went over to Islam out of terror and fear. And then the Muslim murderers turned east. The Persians had a great general named Rustam. They had a great military with a force of elephants, the Persians. And they were not Muslim at the time, the Persians. And for 3 days they fought the Arabs at Qadisiyah in 637. And then at last their armies broke in a great rout. What followed was a great conquest of Persia. And the Muslim Empire pushed far into western Turkestan, eastward until it met with the Chinese. Egypt fell almost without resistance to the new Muslim conquerors, who had such a fanatical belief in the sufficiency of the Quran that they wiped out the vestiges of the book copying industry of the Alexandria Library. I guess you missed that at Berkeley, about the first crusade by the Muslims. And then the Muslims turned their tide of conquest along the north coast of Africa to the Straits of Gibraltar and Spain. They invaded Spain in 710, and the Pyrenees Mountains were reached in 720. In 732, the Arab advance had reached the center of France, but then something happened. It was stopped at good at the Battle of Poitiers, and the Muslims were thrust back as far as the Pyrenees again. The conquest of Egypt gave the Muslims a fleet, and for a time it looked as though they would take Constantinople. My friends, this is the small history of what happened during the great, great days of the Muslim conquest in that period. In only 25 years, through the very same techniques as we are seeing now, which is terrorism, they conquered one country after another with small armies of 1,000 or 2,000 men. And they're killing us one at a time. It's called 1,000 slashes. They didn't kill a man with one blow, but with 1,000 small cuts, they bled the man to death. They cut us on 9/11, 2001. They cut us 3,000 or 2,000 times, and we started to bleed to death. And instead of taking the war to them, as George Bush tried to do, but unfortunately to the wrong country, I guess it was part of his delusion. He didn't know that it emanated from Saudi Arabia. I guess George thought it came from Iraq. Nevertheless, he fought the wrong country at the wrong time. And now the clever Saudis are invading the entire world with their hateful sect of Wahhabism, which you might say is a distortion of Islam if you wish, but it's a virulent form of Islam, if you will. Now, the words you have just heard are not invented. They are based upon reality, the reality of history. There is actually a history, and there are history books. And I'm a scholar who reads history and history books. And I bring you the best of the knowledge of the world in as short a period of time as I can to keep your interest and perhaps educate you to the danger you are in. You can hide, you can put your head in the sand, you can get a balloon or a flower and put it in the street the next time one of them attacks one of us. But it's not going to save you. There's only one thing that saved Europe, and that was the Battle of Poitiers, when the knights put on their armor and fought them head-to-head and toe-to-toe and killed them and drove them out of France. There's nothing more I can say to you. Everything else is in Trump's war. I call it his battle for America, but it's really his battle for the Western world. And yes, the book is number one on the New York Times bestseller list, and I'm very happy with that. But it's not about me. It's about the West. It's about Trump's war. He was supposed to save the West from these psychopathic, suicidal liberals. But never forget that these suicidal maniacs, the Pelosis, the Schumers, the that babbling fool who's never, I don't remember her name, Waters, these most vicious people, they're crazy people. They would rather see the nation commit suicide than let Trump advance one iota. So, yeah, it's a miracle that Trump's war is number one on the New York Times bestseller list, thanks to you. And it is true that Salon Magazine did name me the godfather of Trump mania. And many people consider me to be the determining factor in driving Trump over the finish line, in having motivated millions of undecideds and the deplorables who would have otherwise sat out the election. But I believe that this book is more important going forward than it's ever been, especially what they're doing to Trump every day. The vote was delayed minutes ago on repealing the health care bill, and it should have been, by the way, delayed. I agree 100% in delaying it, because it was nothing but Obamacare light. Everyone knows that. And I believe President Trump was misadvised by some people within his own circle who were not advising him correctly. I've talked about that over and over again. I am not an advisor to the president. I wish I were asked to be so. And it could happen that downstream he'll come to understand that there are people who know more than those around him right now. And I'd be happy to give him my 2 cents. But my 2 cents are found in over 300 pages right now, actually 250 pages with references. Let me open with one paragraph from this best-selling book. And then I'm going to ask you a question again. If you were advising Donald Trump on how to stop the Islamo-fascist cold, what would you advise? There's one open line at 855-407-282. Here's how I open the book, In the Shot Heard Round the World. I write this: I am not a guru. I am not a leader. I am a broadcaster and a writer who can think. In that sense, what you see is what you get. A man of the people who helped lead this revolution that gave us Donald Trump. In that sense, I am much like the thinkers and writers who helped lead the revolution 241 years ago. That first American revolution was as much a revolution of ideas as political institutions, just like ours today. And it wasn't led by peasants, like the disastrous French Revolution, which immediately followed it. It was led by men of ideas. Now, I know many of you can't believe that those of us on the right can think, or that we have a literary background, but there are some of us who do. And trust me, there are tens of millions of us who read, and we're now on the bestseller list with our book, Trump's War. The country has changed, the world has changed, and you better wake up to the fact that unless you listen to us, something horrible is going to happen to you, and it won't be from us. It will be from the very people that you harbor and you think are your friends. And on that note, I will take a break and come back to the question of the day, which is, what would you, the audience of the Savage Nation, thank you for making Trump's war number one on the NYT list, what would you do if you were advising President Trump? What would you do to stop this takeover of the West, particularly of America, and prevent the next attack by one of those who have perverted this great religion? Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Michael Savage's Pocket History of the Conquest of Only 25 Years, How the Barbaric Arabs Conquered Such Great, Great Swaths of Territory, Converted So Many, at that time, I guess it was hundreds of thousands of people, through terror tactics, killing, burning villages to the ground, and converting them to their religion, Persia, Egypt, you name it, only stopped when men stronger than them with better weapons killed them and turned them back. Now, I didn't finish the story about what happened when they conquered, when they went into China. And I didn't tell you what happened as the Arabs evolved in their thinking, because things changed. It's just that we're getting a retro view right now. There was a time, by the way, soon after the conquests, maybe 200 years later, once the Arabs had conquered these vast areas, that the intolerant self-sufficiency of the early days of faith, which made so many of them think the Quran was the only possible book, was dropped. They dropped it. So even then, by the 10th century, they dropped this intolerance. And learning sprang up everywhere in the footsteps of the Arab conquerors. Don't think I don't know the rest of the history. By the 8th century, there was an educational organization throughout the whole Arabized world. So what you're seeing right now is a 7th century view of Islam. These Islamist throwbacks are practicing a 7th century form of Islam, wherein these ignoramuses, these inbreeds, have an intolerant view of the entire world and think that the book that they're reading is the only possible book because they're fundamentally illiterate inbreeds who don't even know the history of their own people. By the 9th century, learned men in the schools of Cordoba, Spain, were corresponding with learned men in Cairo, Baghdad, Bukhara, and Samarkand. Then the Jewish mind assimilated very readily with the Arab mind, and the two Semitic races worked together through the medium of Arabic. Did you know any of this? And so what we're seeing now is something that predates the 9th century, and we're accepting it here as a practice of their faith. It is not. And so when Theresa May says that it's, what is the word that they all use? The perversion of a great religion. She has it all wrong. It's not the perversion of a great religion. You can describe it in a thousand other words, and that's not a perversion of a great religion. It's people living in the 7th century view of their religion. Maybe she ought to study history before she becomes prime minister next time. And so the only way for us to understand what we're facing is to understand what we're facing. I try to help you with it every day, and I do the best I can. And what's amazing to me is that I'm lucky that I'm a former teacher and a science teacher at that, because I learned something in all my years of writing science papers, and I didn't write a lot of them, but they were all good, and they were published in great journals. I was taught early on in science writing to be succinct, use as few words as possible to make your point. That's a skill that requires a lot of years, to use as few words as possible, not as many. And I then read a lot of literature. I read a lot of literature, and one of the writers I loved the most was Ernest Hemingway, because he also used as few words as possible to write his great books. See, he had been a former journalist, where he had to meet deadlines and write short columns. So he didn't fill the pages with a lot of words to fill up space, and he didn't write by $1 a word or 10 cents a word. He wrote what he wanted to write, and he tried to do it in as clean a form as he could. And that's why I'm able to teach you the history of the world and conquest in such a brief period of time and try to awaken you to what you are facing. No, this is not an anomaly. No, these Islamic terrorist attacks are not occasional. No, they didn't just start yesterday. They started in the 7th century. So don't think they're going to end tomorrow unless you end them tomorrow. And we can do a lot of things in this country to end them. That's why we elected Donald Trump. He said he would. Didn't he say that he would not let Muslims into this country? And what did the Schumers and the Feinsteins and the Pelosis have to say when he did that? Racist, this is, that is. No, he was a survivalist. And these psychopathic left-wing idiots are suicidal lemmings. And we have to ignore them and push them aside or they'll take us all over the cliff. Trump said he would ban any more Muslims from entering this nation. And what did he do? He tried to put in even a travel ban. And these sick people on the left called him every name under the sun and blocked him. One filthy judge in a dirty robe. Who is that piece of garbage judge? Who is he? Who is that filth? Did I elect him? Did that piece of garbage hiding behind a black robe, did he run for office? No, he's a left-wing nut. How did one nut in a filthy black robe stop a president? It's because he is backed up by the sickest people on the planet, suicidal leftists who will kill all of us unless we let Donald Trump do his job. And that's just the beginning of what must be done. There's a lot more.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-
I'll go over to Britain again when the men are running the country with women like that great lady I had in this show in hour number one. And we have an England again. And they've decided to live rather than get on their knees and beg for their survival. I have a dream that one day I'll wake up and Donald Trump will be able to rule America. And all of the psychopathic obstructionists will finally be voted out by their own party, who also decide they want to live, not to die. Which brings us to terrorism again. What is our plan for victory for this terrorism? I'm very pleased to tell you that I do have friends in the media. I have a few friends in the media. I mean, you know, the book's number one on the New York Times list, Trump's War, which is an awesome victory. You have no idea what this is. To be a man alone and to come out number one on the Times list. This is the first time I've had a number one bestseller in many a year. The first one was, hold on, I got to read you this. I was thinking about that this morning, and I went to my library and dusted off my first one. I've had many New York Times bestsellers recently, five in a row, which unto itself is pretty awesome. Thank you for that. But in 2002, I published a book called The Savage Nation, Saving America from the Liberal Assault on Our Borders, Language, and Culture. That's the one with the great picture of me with the sunglasses, the iconic picture of me with the Golden Gate Bridge behind me that my son took in a snapshot one day on the back of a ferry boat or something. And the minute it was taken with the sun glinting off the glasses, it was an instant classic. And I look back on that book and I say, what was in that book that the people liked? They had never seen anything like it. So I looked at the outline of that book, From the Bronx to Broadcasting, Diversity is Perversity, America from the Melting Pot to the Chamber Pot, Christophobia in Praise of Christianity, Trickle-Down Immorality, Immigrants and Epidemics, TB Anyone, Dancing on the Cultural Abyss, Red Diaper Doper Babies Rule, and Crimes of the Democrats. It was only 200 and some odd pages, and I got to ask you, has anything changed? Has anything changed? We've lost the war thus far. Not. We haven't lost the war. We just won the election. But the suicidal deviants in the media are so devoted to their own self-destruction that they would deny us our own victory and deny us our own vote. They're supposed to be impartial. I don't turn a television show on for one day and not see an attack on Donald Trump or his family. Not one day passes without these perverts pretending that they run the world. Don't get me started now on the word pervert. Don't get me started on saying that it is not an act of Islamic terrorism. It's a perversion of a great faith. Don't get me started on that. Because I would say to you that the media today is a perversion of a great profession. Oh, yeah, it's a perversion of a great profession. Journalism was once a great profession until it was perverted by these diehard, fanatical, suicidal maniacs who deny half the nation their own vote. But there are friends I have in the media. I have them here and there. I was in a few radio shows. No conservatives in the media will even mention my name because they can't compete with me, so they don't. As I said, only Mike Gallagher, who I really don't know. I don't even know what time he's on, but he did mention my book because he said, I'm proud to say that, you know, one of us, a conservative writer, is number one on the New York Times list, and he took pleasure in that, as he should, because he understands it's a battle. He takes it for real. Okay, he understands it's a real battle, and we're supposed to support each other when there's a victory in order to magnify the victory, in order to spread the message. But he's not bitter, he's not jealous, so he did it. Now I open up Breitbart, and I don't have any contacts with them, and I'm shocked to see that it's their lead story. How pleasant this is. Review, talk radio legend Michael Savage outlines his strategic plan for victory in Trump's war by Colin Medine. This is unbelievable. I'm reading you one paragraph. Breitbart, Michael Savage. It would have been easy for Michael Savage to write a book after the election of Donald Trump that boils down to I told you so. After all, Savage is one of Trump's earliest supporters, but instead of taking the easy route, Savage has written Trump's War as Battle for America, a comprehensive battle plan for the Trump administration, ranging from his familiar topics of borders, language, and culture to economics in the deep state. I got to read this later because I do have honest people in the conservative media, and I want to thank everybody at Breitbart for overcoming all of the resistance that you must have in there to even mention my name. I only wish there was one brave soul at Fox News who would overcome the gentle green giant who has such jealousy. The gentle green giant who is so afraid of me that he won't let anyone on the network have me on. There happens to be people who love me, listen to me, want me on, and the gentle green giant prohibits it. Just a fascist dictatorship, that Fox News. Only the gentle green giant gets to decide who goes on that network. He should understand that we're fighting for our survival. He should celebrate this victory. I wouldn't expect Sean Hannity to have me on his show. He competes with me on the radio. And it's sad to say for him that he has lost in every book going back 2 or 3 years now in New York City, which is the biggest and most competitive market. I often don't talk about it, but let's be clear. I'm on WABC. He's on a call at a deficient station. We split an audience, but I beat him in every book for 2 or 3 years in a row. Why? Sean is a nice guy and a good broadcaster. I'll say that right now. He has a television show to use to promote his radio show. I don't. But I have a message that's clear, and I'm very clear in my messaging. And so that does it. The truth somehow wins out every time, as long as you can get the truth out somehow. I just want to thank the people in the media who have come to understand that we're fighting for our survival and that we really ought to support each other a little bit more. I only wish the gentle green giant could put his take his shades off for a few minutes and see what's really going on around them and recognize that it's not just about ratings or money. It's about survival. Which is what we are talking about now. I had Katie Hopkins from England on in the first hour. She's a real warrior, this woman. She's the kind of woman who built England. You know, you watch a show like Vikings, and you see the Viking women. She was like a Viking woman, absolutely. She said she went to Sandhurst, and she had been in the military. Amazing, with 3 children. She can't stand what she's seeing in England right now. They stood in the center of Brussels, row on row, she wrote, hands held high, making hearts to the heavens, showing the slaughtered they were not forgotten, reminding themselves they were here with love, looking to show humanity wins, that love conquers all. They lay in the center of London, face down where they fell, stabbed by a knife, ran with a car, flung broken into the Thames, life bleeding out of the curb. And she goes on, an Asian man rushed to hospital. She says, no anger for me this time, no rage like I felt before, no desperate urge to get out there and scream at the idiots who refuse to see this coming, not even a nod for the glib idiots who say this will not defeat us, that we will never be broken, that cowardice and terror will not get the better of Britain. She says, because as loyal as I am, as much as my whole younger life was about joining the British military and fighting for my country, I fear we are broken. She said, our country is broken. This is what we have become. This is what we've become. Because all the while those forgiving fools in Brussels stood with their stupid hands raised in hearts to the sky, another mischief was in the making. More death was in the pipeline. London is a city so desperate to be seen as tolerant. No news of the injured was released. No clue about who was safe or not. Liberals convinced themselves multiculturalism works because we all die together. An entire city of monkeys. See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil, blind, deaf, and dumb. And then she talks about the seething hatred inside London from the immigrants, how the Afghans hate the Somalis who loathe the Eritreans. And she goes on, and how it's a war between London and the rest of the country. Well, it's a parallel here in America, a war between the Schumer, New York, the Pelosi, San Francisco, and the others. Those of us, the deplorables, like you who listen to this show in hiding. Many of you yourselves self-identify as Democrats, don't you? Even as liberals, don't you? And yet you tune into the show as often as you can, don't you? For a reason. Because something in you stirs when you hear me speak. Perhaps it's an uncle that you once had or you wish you had. Perhaps it was a father that you had or wish you had. Perhaps it's your own voice that you sometimes hear, but you suppress, that you hear coming out of your radio speakers or your whatever you put on your head as you listen on an iPhone. It's the voice of survival that you hear. It's the voice of survival that you hear. It's a man clamoring to survive, trying to awaken you to your own survival instincts. I'm asking you to shake off the brainwashing. I'm asking you to break the shackles of liberalism, which are crippling you, not ennobling you, not making you a stronger, better person, but a weaker fool than you already are. Obsequious to those who kill you? bowing down to those who would cut your throats and will do so once they have the majority, as they've done in every other country where they've gotten the majority? Are you insane? Probably. Just ask your psychiatrist. He'll know, if he himself knows what sanity is. But let's not get off the beaten path here. I give you a strategic plan for victory in Trump's war. And I'm asking you now, what's the path for victory to prevent the next terror attack from another, let us say, pervert of the religion of peace? I'm using Theresa May's words. She says it's wrong to describe this as Islamic terrorism. She said it is Islamist terrorism, a perversion of a great faith. Well, at least she said the word Islamist. Obama wouldn't even say that. Where is Obama, by the way? Oh, there are whisperings where he is. But we can't say where he is, even though we know where he is. Let us just say he's enjoying a holiday by himself at sea without the wife and kids, a little birdie told me. Let's leave it at that. One day you'll come to understand who he was and how he hoodwinked you. And now we have a mess on our hands, and we elected a man to clean up that mess. And now we have the obstructionists like Schumer, Pelosi, Feinstein, doing everything they can to stop us from saving ourselves. And that's where we are today. What would you do to stop it? I have a solution. It's simple. I make it easy for all of us. Time is running out already in hour number two. This is what happens when the shows are great, because the topics are so great, because the moment is so strong. It's simple. The New York Police Department, until a number of years ago, until the psychopathic liberals in the New York Civil Liberties Union stopped them from doing so, the New York Police Department had the most vociferous anti-terrorism task force in the country, if not in the world. They were monitoring mosques. They were following people who they thought would be problems. They had an entire program. I think it was 60 pages long. I once got my hands on it. I was going to put it in a book. It may be in Trump's War in Parts somewhere. I don't know. I have it somewhere. It was the most detailed plan to stop the next terror attack coming from another mosque somewhere in New York City. The NYPD was stopped by from doing it. Do you know who stopped them from doing their jobs? The New York Civil Liberties Union. And take a look at the names of those who work in the New York Civil Liberties Union. It's repetitive, over and over and over again, the same types of names. It's the same type over and over again that stops the men and the women of America from preventing the next terror attack. And who are these people? Why is it that they're so fanatically anti-cop, so fanatically anti-patriot, so fanatically anti-mother, anti-father, anti-church? Why are they like that? I'll let you figure it out. I'll be back to discuss it with you and Trump's war right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Money. Savage Nation, and I happen to love what I'm about to tell you about. And you know what that is? Charles Tirrett. I was actually a customer of theirs before they started sponsoring the Savage Nation, because they make the best business and casual shirts you're going to find anywhere. All the fashion from their famous store on German Street in London has been made available online, and they're giving my listeners a huge savings. Charles Tirrett shirts are the most exquisitely tailored, crease-free shirts ever. British style, using only the softest, most comfortable fabrics, tie, no tie, tucked or untucked. You're going to look great. And I got you a great deal. You get three shirts for just $99. That's 60% off. And all CT shirts come with free delivery. You heard me. A six-month quality guarantee and free returns. Just $99 gets you three amazing shirts right now at www.ctshirts.com/savage. Write it down. www.ctshirts.com/savage. You're going to love me for this one. Well, we're down to the last couple of minutes of hour two, which means a number of our affiliates leave us, and many, many affiliates, hundreds of them. Stay with us. If you are leaving the show right now, take great pride in the fact that you had another victory. That one of yours, Michael Savage, with your help, just knocked the book out of the park. It was a home run, like Babe Ruth, and I'm walking around the bases. No Fox News, because the big green giant won't let anyone have me on, even though I know there are people who are dying to have me on. Wouldn't it make sense, you think of it, you have a show on Fox News, it's all ratings-based. So you have Michael Savage on with the New York Times number one bestseller, and you talk about the book, and I tell my listeners to listen to that show. The ratings go through the ceiling. And yet they'd rather cut their nose to spite their face because the big green giant, so as I understand it, wants no competition for his books. Would you believe this? And you thought everybody was on the same team. You thought it was one big happy conservative family. Well, now you know the rest of the story. There is no family. There is no coordination. There is no unity. There's no more unity in the conservative media, so-called, than there is in the Republican Party. You got people like me, and then you have liberals posing as conservatives who'd rather stab me in the back and throw every impediment in the way than see me heard or seen anywhere. Period. End of story. And that's it. I'm not bitter. I'm happy. And that's the end of my political book career. There's no more. So Islamo-fascist terror hits London again. The worst part of that story for me was seeing British EMT workers on the ground trying to save the life of the subhuman who had just stabbed the cop and run people over. Fighting to save his life, that pile of human trash. Me, I would have let him rot in the street till the crows pecked his eyes out. I would have put a yellow barrier around him and let him rot in the street. I wouldn't let his family get his body back. This is sick. It's not the mark of a superior culture to do that. It's the mark of a sick, weak, depressive, suicidal culture to do a thing like that. A man who kills your women and children indiscriminately, you work around the clock to save his life. What does that prove? That you're a better person? It proves you're a fool.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Well, in the last hour, we were talking about Islamic or Islamist terrorism and the perversion of a great faith and my take on the whole picture, and talking about the fact that my book, Trump's War, is number one on the New York Times bestseller list of nonfiction hardcover for this last week, which is great, not only for me, but for the movement itself. And make no mistake about it, this is a movement, it's a revolution, which is why there is a counter-revolution being fought by all of the suicidal left-wingers, and you have to now join the battle in the other direction, and you need some roadmap, don't you? That's what I wrote it for, and it's good for a couple of years now. So in the last hour, I talked about the Islamist terrorism, in Theresa May's words, that it's a perversion of a great faith, but I've not really talked in the show today about the Mongols, and I think I should mention the Mongols for a few minutes, because there's an interesting story here as relates to the Muslims. And the Mongols, as we well know, were ruthless. They massacred and assimilated every town they went into. Either they killed everybody or made them convert to their, or assimilated them. And they went into Hungary, massacring and assimilating the kindred Magyar people. Even as the Magyar had previously massacred and assimilated the mixed Scythians and Avars and Huns before them. So in the history of the world, what you are seeing the barbarians from the 7th century doing now, in terms of one at a time, was done by whole armies. Understand that? And so what happened later on is a very interesting telling story. After Mangu Khan succeeded Ogdai Khan as the great Khan in 1251. It's an interesting story, not boring at all. And I read that the Mongols displayed at the time a bitter animosity to Islam and not only massacred the population of Baghdad when they captured Baghdad in Iraq, but they set to work, the Mongols did, to destroy the immemorial irrigation system, which had kept Mesopotamia prosperous and populous from the early days of Sumeria. And as a result of the Mongols destroying the irrigation system of the Muslim Baghdad, the area became a desert of ruins until our modern age, able to sustain only a scanty population until the British rebuilt the irrigation system for the Iraqis. Into Egypt, the Mongols never penetrated. The Sultan of Egypt completely defeated an army of Hulagus in Palestine in 1260. What happened when the Mongols invaded China? Very interesting. The Eastern Mongols became Buddhists, like the Chinese. The Western Mongols became Muslim. Did you ever look at Chinese people and look at their faces and their eyes and wonder about their origins any more than you do about your own people? I know that's a politically, let us say, nervous thing to do in America, is to ask people their origins. I've done that sort of my whole life. I'm trained as an anthropologist in part. I've always been interested in people's backgrounds and origins, not to typecast them, but to understand them. I would ask people in America all my adult life, and what is your, I learned how to do it politely, and what is your ethnic background, I would say. And embarrassingly, a lot of the white people would say, oh, I'm not anything, I'm a Heinz 57, they would say sort of sheepishly and proudly. They didn't want to identify as Anglo, English, Scotch, Irish, Dutch. They didn't want to even say that. They wouldn't say European American because they never heard of the phrase. So they would say nervously, oh, Heinz 57, I'm nothing. Well, I'm afraid that was true. Well, when nothing meets something, generally the something defeats the nothing, which is why we are living through what we're living through now. Got to give it to these perverts from the 7th century. They know who they are, and they know what they like to do to you. And the only thing between them and you are the men in blue and the soldiers in whatever color the uniform may be. And yet you spend your every waking day doing everything you can to defeat the very forces that will protect you from being massacred, either individually or as an entire population. Think about the suicidal behavior you're engaging in as such an advanced progressive, with your pinky held high in the air in your cafes, thinking that you're better than everybody else because you don't think these thoughts. Psycholibs describe Muslim murderer as bearded man. Trump's war beats Bush book and all others in category. There's so many other stories. So many other stories. In Belgium, a man wearing camouflage tried to drive a car into a crowd at high speed. Came out on jihad watch. I guess that's a dangerous sight for you to look at. Man wearing camouflage tries to drive car at high speed into crowd. March 23rd, 2017, 10 a.m. by Robert Spencer. According to Nancy Pelosi, he's a right-wing evil man. And he said, it just happened. And it said a billboard in Nazareth that actually called for them to do this. Fatah called for such attacks. The Islamic State issued this call in September of 2014 to drive cars into crowds, slaughter him with a knife, smash his head with a rock, slaughter him with a knife, run him over with a car, throw him down from a high place or choke him or poison him. They're living in the 7th century perversion of their great religion. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? They're not alone, though. So, this just happened. A man wearing camouflage has been arrested after trying to drive a car with French plates into a crowded, busy shopping street in Antwerp. Didn't read about that in the San Francisco newspaper any more than you've read about local boy makes good, Michael Savage, Lifetime writer, number one on the New York Times list. Doesn't count. Why? Because I'm not espousing the sickness of liberalism. Comes hours after a terrorist was shot dead after a massacre outside Parliament in Westminster. So it goes on and on and on, and the question is how we're going to stop it from happening tomorrow. Well, we had an election. We tried to stop it. One of Donald Trump's number one campaign promises was we will not permit Muslims to emigrate into America until we can sort out all of them who were here, brought in by Obama. Obama brought in over 1 million of them. Do you know that? Did you know that Hussein Obama, who's on an all-male cruise now, somewhere in the, it's sort of a boys' night out type of thing. He's on a cruise somewhere in the Tahiti area, as I understand it. Families are not there. He brought in 1 million of them. 1 million. Now, how many of them were screened by the CIA or the FBI for ties to terror? How many of them might drive a car into a crowd or cut your throat somewhere? I don't know. Do you know? The agencies that are supposed to protect us were busy spying on Donald Trump and conservatives. They don't know. How would they know? They were told by Hussein Obama not to look at any Muslim refugees because they'd be considered violating the protocols of Barry Obama. And so they didn't. They spent all of their resources monitoring Donald Trump, Michael Savage, and anyone else on the conservative side who might be a threat to the agenda to destroy the West. That's all. You can take that to the bank. It's 12 minutes after the hour, and there's so much more to discuss. I don't think I'll be able to do it in the minutes that remain. But I've asked you a key question. What would you do if you could speak to Donald Trump to stop the next Islamist, if you want to be polite about it, the next Islamist from driving a car onto a sidewalk? You know that could even happen in San Francisco, all you progs out there? Yeah, you could be coming out of a cafe just having read the Communist Manifesto or a book on how to hate Trump or how to overthrow the church or how to hate the police. And do you know that one of these 7th century throwbacks might drive over your dead body, your body on a sidewalk because he wouldn't know the difference between you and any other kafir? Did you know that? Did you know that to them you are the same? You didn't know that. You didn't study that at Harvard or at Bolt Law School. You didn't get to that lesson. Those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat it, said the great non-musician George Santayana. And I'm not talking about the musician. This is the... Yeah, they were pretty good. Oye, como va? Yeah, oye, como va? Se dice, I guess. Something like that. I don't know the lyrics. But we're not talking about the musician Santana. We're talking about the Spanish philosopher Santayana, who wrote, "Those who do not know the history are condemned to repeat it." So if you do not know the history of the Muslim conquest going back to the 7th century, you may be condemned to repeat it. Do you understand that? Get it? Because your knowledge of history has been very limited in this new world school order that you grew up in. I think I've said all I want to say for the moment, so I'm going to take a quick break and come right back. Take your calls right here on The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. I like the New York Times now. I think they're wonderful people because they made me number one in the New York Times list. They're just great. Yesterday on the show, I said we don't know where it's going to be placed. I know it outsold all the other books. And I said I hope that the good people at the New York Times do the right thing. I mean, if you speak of them nicely, they do the right thing. I don't know. Maybe we should stop castigating all of our political opponents. Maybe we'll have a better nation in both directions. House cancels vote on GOP health bill. You heard about that, right? I don't generally talk about the health care bill. It's so boring to me and just red tape and a labyrinth. I don't know why Trump went after this first. To me, it wasn't that big a deal. I would have let it run for a while. This was a small wing of the Republican Party, a small group of people who wanted this done first. It was really not the number one thing on my agenda, believe me. But okay, I have a whole chapter on what I would do to repeal the bill. It's in Trump's war. I'm not going to do it now. And prospects for the Republicans' health care revision got grimmer by the minute today, despite Trump's personal lobbying of conservatives. And he feared that it wouldn't pass, so they pulled it. Not a good sign. Very, very bad sign, because one of the marks of a great politician is someone who can compromise, do deals, and get things done. And one of the greatest in American political history, modern history, was LBJ. I was told, even when I was young, that guy knew how to make a deal work. He'd go around one to the other, and he'd work out deals. He'd give them what they needed to do to get what he wanted. This is what I'm trying to tell you. This is a compromise that Donald Trump needs to learn. He's not a dictator. He's a negotiator. And he cannot run the country like a business. If I get the opportunity and the honor to sit with the president ever again, and he wants my candid opinion, which I don't think is going to happen in the very near future, I would say to him, you've got to understand the art of compromise, not the art of the deal. Because you're not making deals, you're making compromises now. Politics is horrendous. It's messy. I myself, Mr. Trump, could never be in that business. I'm too strong-willed. I have too, my ideas are too fixed. I could never be a politician. I knew that from the beginning. I'm not made for it. So, you know, we may not like our politicians. We may put them down. But they're in a situation or a system that unto itself is almost impossible for the average person to work in. We're not used to it. It's almost against human nature to be a politician, to constantly have to finagle and work out deals. You know, I couldn't live that way. That's why I never went down that road. Thank God. You do a radio show, you think, you get your facts lined up, and you speak, and you hope that people agree with you more than disagree with you. You write a book, and then you have an editor who says, what about this, what about that? Then the lawyer for the publisher reads and says, you can't say this, you can't say that. What do you think? Can you back that up? It's called a vetting. Then you publish the book, and you live with it. But in writing a book is sort of like being a dictator in your own way. You're writing what you dictate. That's what it comes down to. You're not compromising. See, this is the thing about being a writer, is that it suits my nature, is that you don't have to compromise that much to write a book. You understand? It was very interesting. I never thought about this out loud, why I was drawn to writing. And I got to go back to myself as a child. I'm going to drift again. I don't have the desire to talk about politics right now. Which is, I always was a quiet kid. Would you believe that? Before I became an unquiet kid, I would sit and make model airplanes, wooden model airplanes out of balsa wood and paper. Would you believe that? Today they'd probably say there's something wrong with me. Any child who could sit quietly without an electronic device and, like, you know, press buttons to give him answers must have been sick. He did what? Mrs. Savage, he spent hours not in front of a machine with glue? With balsa wood, making airplanes and ships? That's a very sick child, Mrs. Savage. We need to give him some treatment. We need to massage his brain so he's like everyone else, looking at the oracle in his hand, which gives him the answers to everything on the planet. Taking pictures and sending them to people who don't look at them. Taking obscene pictures of his body and sending them to little girls who send them back to him. Could you imagine if I had an iPhone when I was 5, 6, 7? I don't know how do kids live in that world? I don't understand it. What worlds open up to them? You think they're all wonderful worlds? Ask Mr. Google about that. No deal, no deal, no deal. The bill could still come to a vote in coming days. But canceling today's vote was a very big defeat. It came on the 7-year anniversary of Barack Obama signing the Socialist Care Act. And for years now, the Republicans made believe they wanted to repeal it. Years they spent, the McConnells and the Ryans, you give us the power and we'll repeal Obamacare. They've been repealing it for 6 years, and when it didn't matter, they knew it would only be a symbolic vote because Obama was still in the White House and Democrats held a majority in the Senate. So the rhinos during those years when they knew it wouldn't matter took the opportunity to show what tough conservatives they were for their long-suffering constituents. And they voted 6 times to repeal the law in its entirety, with almost 50 other votes to repeal or delay parts of its provisions because they knew it could never pass. So they kept doing it. So now that the vote is no longer symbolic, repealing this monstrosity seems to have become a lot more complicated. And so the first proposal the rhinos came up with was a budget bill that included repealing Obamacare and adding $9 trillion in new debt over the next 10 years, right out of George W. Bush's playbook. The Republicans were ready to add as much to the national debt as Obama has over his 8-year term, and it only took them 3 days. That is page 45 of the New York Times number one bestseller, Trump's War. So if you think it's all hot air and it's hyperbole, you are mistaken. Careful thought. Careful ideas, savage solutions, your roadmap for the next 4 to 8 years of the Trump administration to help him overcome the hostility, not only of the obstructionist left, but of the devious Republican Party. Savage's Trump's War, number one on New York Times bestseller list. Thank you very much. What would you recommend to reduce Islamo-fascist terror in the West has been the question of the day. We've not gotten to too many calls, but boy, we've got them today. And we'll get to them tomorrow. But the news just keeps on tumbling down on us. Dow tumbled 120 points because of this healthcare debacle.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
A bearded man conducted the attack in London. Bearded man of no religion. He wasn't a Muslim, was he? Well, we didn't know it was a bearded man. And the worst part was seeing the EMT workers trying to save the subhuman's life as people lay dead in the streets. This is the symptom of insanity. This is the symptom of liberal insanity I've never seen. If you were to make up a story like this 50 years ago, that a man would run people over on purpose after stabbing a cop, and the cops, the ambulance workers in those days would run up and try to save his life, you'd say no one would believe that would happen. They wouldn't even go near him. They'd let him rot and die in the street. They'd let the crows peck his eyes out. They wouldn't pick him up with the garbage the next day. This is what liberals have done to our minds and made you think that's the mark of a sane society, trying to save the life of a man who just killed all those people. This is what you think is the mark of a civilized society. It shows that you're better than them. This is how sick you are. You think they look at you and say, oh, they're better than us. We'll learn from their example. Oh, those liberals are so... Western democracy is so superior to our 9th century view of Islamofascism that we'll become like them. We'll just throw away our hate book. We'll get rid of all the hate in our book because they're so much better than us. And look at that. They put balloons and they put flowers in the street. Isn't that the way to go, Ahmed? Yeah. Let's join them. Yeah, Ahmed, let's reform our viewpoint because they're such superior people. You think this parody is unreal? This is how the liberals actually think things work. They are tolerant for every sickness on the planet, with the exception of conservatism. They are tolerant for every form of humanity and every form of human behavior, except for patriotism. They are mentally ill. We cannot let the mentally ill politicians lead the West over the cliff any longer. We cannot. It's impossible. We cannot go on like this. What part of reality do you not understand? Let me ask you a bigger question. There seems to be a divide in this nation and in the West itself between reality and psychopathic unreality. I always thought the divide ended where survival began and ended, but I was wrong. So let me ask you, the Savage Nation, a simple question. What is reality? I asked that on the air yesterday. And the listener said, well, reality is what you make it. You can make reality anything you want. And then the listener said, prove to me existence itself as we know it. Prove to me existence itself as we know it is real or unreal. Or prove to me that existence as you know it is the same as the existence as I know it. So I sent a parable about Albert Einstein. The story goes, and I think it's a true story, a man came in after he published a theory of relativity, and Einstein let him come to see him. And he said, Herr Einstein, I finally get it. I read your theory of relativity. There is no reality. Whereupon Einstein stood up and slapped the man in the face and said, this is reality. Well, I remember reading that, and shortly thereafter, I must have been 20 years old, I was on a country road in the Catskill Mountains of New York, and I ran over a rabbit. I got out and saw the dead thing squashed in the road with the blood and guts all over the pavement. And I remember writing in my journal later on, tonight I ran over and killed a rabbit. This is reality. So now we have another reality in London. Another Muslim fanatic trying to stab a cop, killing a cop, driving a car onto a bridge, killing other people, hitting 20 civilians, killing some of them, maiming others for life, and you have Wolf Blitzer and the others in denial. More concerned about offending certain members of their populations than protecting themselves and others. And you want me to tell you the worst part of this Islamo-fascist terror attack in London for me? Was seeing the British EMT workers desperately trying to save the life of the subhuman who had done this. You see, to me, any man who commits this type of atrocity on other humans who are innocent is no longer a human being. They sink below the level of humanity. They become subhumans. I would have let him rot in the streets. I would have let him rot in the streets rather than put a needle in to save that life of that piece of garbage. And to see them working so hard to save his life after he had done this, if this does not typify the insanity of the liberal West, tell me what does. A man runs people over on purpose, kills them, shoots, stabs a cop, and they save his life? They try to save his life? That's the society you want to live in? That makes you feel like a good man? That makes you feel like a superior liberal? That should indicate to you that you're a mental case that belongs in a nut house. So let me turn it back to you, the listeners of this show. This is no longer a joke. We can't have flowers and balloons every time another person is killed by one of these Islamo-fascist subhumans. No flowers, no balloons. I want to hear the bees buzzing. I want to hear the B-1s, the B-2s. I want them in the air. I want to hear them roaring at 5 in the morning at a McClellan Air Force Base. Every time someone is killed, I want a training camp destroyed with everything that walks in it dead. And that's the way you're going to win this war, no other way. Not with balloons, Miss May. Not with that false, stiff upper lip, Miss May. We will not be bent. Or the Muslim mayor of London, isn't he a wonderful speaker? Mr. Khan, isn't he a wonderful, wonderful man, Mayor Khan? London is the safest city in the world, he said. And he wants the balloons, and he wants the flowers, and he wants the English on their knees, bowing down to radical Islam. Borders, language, culture. And let's talk about Trump's Muslim ban, which the psychotics in the media defined as a Muslim ban. It was common sense, wasn't it, to ban people from countries which are known to have and to harbor large numbers of fanatics like this one in London? Wouldn't it make sense not to have more of them come into your country if you're trying to keep yourself alive? Of course it would, if you were a sane person and you weren't brainwashed like Andy Cooper is. If you're not brainwashed, as they all are, it seems to me, in the media, like Macho Red Cow, they're brainwashed. Their protocols of liberalism supersede their own survival instincts. And they would rather push their protocols of insane liberalism than report reality. So we've given up on them. Their ratings are in free fall. We despise them. We watch them. We want to break the I wanted to smash the television today. As I watched Wolf Blitzer go on and on about a bearded man, I wanted to reach to the screen and slap him in the face and say, stop it, Wolf. You know you're lying. And if you don't know you're lying, then you should get off the air. Get off the air because you're not doing us a public service. You're doing us a public disservice. You are doing us all a disservice, Mr. Blitzer. But I couldn't say that. It was only a television set. I'm trying to warn you about the danger you are in. I'm trying to awaken you to the danger you're in. I'm trying to save you from the danger you put yourself in through disbelief and unreality. That is what I am doing today. Now, again, we have to go to the other side, where liberals are terrified of offending. They're terrified of offending anyone except us deplorables. Isn't it ironic they're afraid of offending even terrorists of the Muslim faith, but they're not afraid of offending the deplorables who elected Trump? How is that possible? Why is that? Why is it that they hate no one except those of us who voted for Trump? How is it possible? How come they're afraid of inflammatory statements except when it comes to us? Well, I have many answers to these questions, and they're not very pleasant answers, so I think I'll ignore them for right now. But let's go back to Donald Trump for a minute. He was elected largely through my help. And when he came on the scene, he was really forceful in his statements. They've muted him. They put him on the defensive. They got him where they want him. They got him on the ropes. And in the book, I say the patriots who elected him have vowed to take their country back. Standing in their way are far-left radicals who have taken over the Democratic Party, Chuck Schumer. Rhinos protecting their big business special interests, check Ryan. War profiteers with trillions to lose if Trump restores peace, check anyone on the Senate Intelligence Committee. Liberal media who will stop at nothing to bring Trump down, check them all. Says while everyone else was still talking about the election, Michael Savage was already looking ahead to the war Trump and his supporters will have to fight. Well, we're fighting it right now. Trump said, he put in a ban the other day, What did he ban? He banned electronic devices on airplanes from certain countries. Well, the liberal media went crazy. Local San Francisco paper that ignored all reality through the 8 years of Obama's terror attacks on the American psyche are saying, what a terrible thing it is to take these long flights without devices on airplanes. That's all they could think about. They didn't have their devices on the airplanes as they fly to the various places around the globe where they can seek pleasure. They will have no devices. I guess they forgot how to read a book or a magazine. Well, how to do a crossword puzzle. They need a device on an airplane? What do you need a device for? Pick up a book or a newspaper if you want. Take a magazine with you. No, you need a device on an airplane. So why did Trump ban these devices from these predominantly Muslim countries? And that is airplanes going back and forth to them. Why do you do it? Well, I must also caution you that he was not alone. The UK did it as well. Do you know why? Because they had internet chatter that was quite relevant right up until this terror attack at the UK Parliament today, where a cop was stabbed and 20 were mowed down by the Muslim with a beard. They had chatter that an attack was going to occur. And they also know that the fanatics who have done nothing for humanity except kill, murder, maim, torture, and rape. I haven't seen any Nobel Prizes coming out of that segment of the world recently. How is it that no Nobel Prizes are given for saving lives in the minds of these people? How is that even possible? How is it there's no Nobel Prizes, no discoveries, no advancements in human knowledge? Nothing but a retrograde ninth century view of the world? That's all they can give us? And you want more of them in the country? All the liberal girls who may be listening to the show, do you want more of them here? Why? What is wrong with you? Are you that stupid? Has your brain not been fogged that badly that you don't understand that you are putting your own self in danger through the stupidity that you learned at Harvard and at Berkeley? That this tolerance you were taught is nothing but suicide? And that how ultra-tolerance is killing us? And that even a strawberry, if you look at it under a microscope, yes, a humble strawberry. Even a strawberry has slight barbs on it. Even a strawberry has barbs on their berries. Why? Why does a strawberry, why did nature evolve barbs on a strawberry? To prevent insects from eating the soft flesh of the strawberry. Well, you are the soft flesh of America. And the barbs that would protect you, you've been told, are intolerant. The barbs that would protect you, you have been told, are the deplorables. The barbs that would protect you, those cops on the corner, those barbs, you have been told, are fascists. Those barbs have been called every name under the sun, but they're there to protect you, little girl. But you don't know that because your brain has been washed since childhood by your schooling. Savage's book, Trump's War, is number one on the New York Times bestseller list. That is without ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, Fox News, or MSNBC. I didn't need them. All I needed was the truth. You hear me? The truth is the most powerful medium in the world. There's nothing greater than the truth. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Heard this before, that it's not Islam, these acts of terror. They're Islamist terrorism, and that it's a perversion of a great faith. The question is, how come so many seem to pervert this great faith? Where do they derive their ideas from? If it's a perversion of a great faith, where do the perverts of this great faith get their ideas to commit such heinous acts? Can anyone explain that to me? Why, it's in the faith itself. And so you could say, well, wait a minute, how dare you say that? I'm sorry, if you read the holy book, it tells you to kill an infidel. Now, most Muslims are peace-loving. I've had Muslim associates. They're peace-loving, just like Christians are or Jews. They want to be left alone, worship as they want. But unfortunately, there are a lot of unhinged people who are either mentally deranged or genetically damaged from inbreeding, who read a book and take it literally. And so they want to live in an 8th or 9th century view of their holy book, where it says if you see an infidel, cut his throat, et cetera, and so on. We don't have to repeat it. It's in their holy book itself. So you say, well, it's a perversion of a great faith. So the only salvation for the world, including Muslims who are peaceful, is for a revision to occur within Islamic circles, and it's already occurring. However, anyone who speaks out against the tenets of the original document are put on a hit list, and I mean within the Muslim faith. There's some great women, Muslims, who have, they're called moderate Muslims, who are appalled at the anti-womanness of the Holy Book, their hatred for women, etc. Every time they speak out about going through a reformation, as the Christians did, what, 700 years ago, 500 years ago, Christianity went through a reformation. Islam has not gone through a reformation. Judaism has gone through a reformation. Islam has not gone through a reformation. So we have a real problem on our hands, don't we? Because this is going to happen over and over again. It'll kill us with 1,000 slashes. As I have told you, it's the Arabic way of warfare. There is actually a history, and there are history books. And I'm a scholar who reads history and history books. And I bring you the best of the knowledge of the world in as short a period of time as I can to keep your interest and perhaps educate you to the danger you're in. You can hide, you can put your head in the sand, you can get a balloon or a flower and put it in the street the next time one of them attacks one of us, but it's not going to save you. There's only one thing that saved Europe, and that was the Battle of Poitiers, when the knights put on their armor and fought them head to head and toe to toe and killed them and drove them out of France. There's nothing more I can say to you. Everything else is in Trump's war. I call it his battle for America, but it's really his battle for the Western world. And yes, the book is number one on the New York Times bestseller list, and I'm very happy with that. But it's not about me. It's about the West. It's about Trump's war. He was supposed to save the West from these psychopathic, suicidal liberals. But never forget that these suicidal maniacs, the Pelosis, the Schumers, the that babbling fool who's never, I don't remember her name, Waters, these most vicious people, they're crazy people. They would rather see the nation commit suicide than let Trump advance one iota. So yeah, it's a miracle that Trump's war is number one on the New York Times bestseller list, thanks to you. And it is true that Salon Magazine did name me the godfather of Trump mania. And many people consider me to be the determining factor in driving Trump over the finish line, in having motivated millions of undecideds and the deplorables who would have otherwise sat out the election. But I believe that this book is more important going forward than it's ever been.